Hi, I'm Scott.
And I'm Michelle, and we are the owners of the Main Street Mouse.
And this is the Main Street Mouse Weekly Podcast, show number 150 for July 1st, 2024.
For your safety, remain seated with the doors closed, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside while the tram is moving. And supervise your children.
Welcome, foolish mortals, to the Haunted Mansion.
Because this here's the wildest ride in the wilderness!
Soaring to tower. We are ready for takeoff.
Dead men tell no tale.
I know not who you are, nor how I came to find you. But may I just say, I...
Everybody, here we go.
Hello, everybody. It's Monday.
Hi, happy Monday.
Happy Monday. It's a hot Monday here in Florida.
Oh my gosh, it's a hot every day in Florida.
We actually look forward to the rain because the rain actually breaks the heat just a little bit for us.
Except when we're out standing in it, that's not fun.
And we were actually at a media event today that we'll talk to you guys about more in a little bit. But we were pretty hot out there.
Yeah, it's pretty miserable here right now. But, you know, a lot of it's hot in a lot of places across the country right now. So, yeah.
Yeah, so everybody make sure you stay hydrated. Stay cool.
Which we couldn't do today.
No, they didn't give us water. They didn't have a... Usually we go to media events and they usually have, like, water or something like that to keep people from getting overheated. And there was nothing to grab at this one.
No, they gave us an empty canteen.
At the end. That was
at
our...
At the end.
That was
so, anyway, why don't we talk about that first, where we were at today,
sure.
Being that we're just talking about it already?
Yeah, so today we actually were at the media event, invited us... SeaWorld Orlando invited us out to the media event for their new ride, Penguin Trek, which opens on the 7th of this month.
Right. So the Penguin Trek coaster is taking, is where the old Penguin ride used to be. I don't remember what it was called, though.
Encounter or something.
Penguin Encounter or something.
Something like that. It was a trackless ride back then. You'd ride around and you'd see like the different penguins and stuff.
And it was cold.
It was always very cold in there, especially for you. I was always fine, but you and the boys were cold. Once or twice we rode it, actually.
Yeah, so all that's different now. There's an actual coaster, and it is... it's considered a family coaster, but it has two spots where you launch, and it's nothing that's going to, you know, make anybody, like, too dizzy because it doesn't have anything that goes upside down.
Nope.
Nothing too offensive, but it's a fun ride.
It is. It's just fun. There, like she said, there's nothing offensive. There's nothing intense about it.
I mean,
two launches are pretty good, but they're not.
Maybe I meant intensive, not offensive. I don't
probably.
Know. But whatever.
It's offensive. The ride makes fun of you the whole way through and offends you.
I said it's not offensive. It compliments you.
You think you fit in that seat? You don't fit there. No, it's not like that. But the ride is
Sorry.
Not intense. It does a lot of stuff, but in a little space. But it's not a short ride. I guess it's kind of weird to say. It's a
okay,
lot of
well, we're not making
turns.
Any sense here whatsoever. Just it's cool. We'll just leave it.
It's cool, and you might want to check it out. I know there's a ride video of it on SeaWorld's actual website. You can go watch their video of it. They gave us our point of view camera, which was just recording us. So I don't know if we'll put that one out.
Well, no. So the point of view cam that they did that. SeaWorld is not Disney, obviously, and they do things different.
Yes.
The camera was so low, all you could see was our knees instead of, like,
our
faces or whatever on this ride.
Right.
So I'm pretty sure unless you can edit that, we're not going to use it because nobody wants to see our kneecaps.
No. And then because of that, because it was the kneecaps, I wasn't even thinking as we're riding it, so we really didn't pay attention to the camera.
Well, because it shut, it looked like it shut off.
So even if we could have made it work, I don't know if we will. So I guess time will tell if we put that one out or not.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, if you want to hear, like, coaster sounds and look at people's knees, then this might be the video for you.
It's a big time. we're going to open up an Only Knees, only knees account and show our video of Only Knees.
Okay, let's not do
but
that.
No, but it is a good ride. It's fun. It is for the whole entire family. I don't think age.
It's
handle
fun.
Younger children and older people.
But it's not a weenie ride either.
No,
it's not like, you know, adults won't enjoy it. It was fun.
It's not from the Sesame Street side.
No.
It's actually in the rides.
It's a an adult ride as well.
It's a fun little ride. That's the best way to put it. And it's a little bit longer than most of the rides that are going up in other parks now. So
well, SeaWorld's rides usually aren't very long. But at the end of the ride, you get to see the penguin.
Yes, which is the best part. So actually, the way they have you leave the ride, you walk past the penguin habitat. There's between you and glass. So you don't really get to get close to the penguins until you go to the next area. And that's when you get to actually walk into the habitat.
Yeah, and it's 32 degrees, and the employees are wearing, like, winter outfits, hats and gloves and winter coats. And then I had a tank top and short shorts on. So I'm like, oh, God, hurry.
But it was cool to see up and close with the penguins. And there was one that kept trying to – he kept jumping up on that one little wooden area where he could have just hopped over the net. And they kept yelling, get down, you know better.
You know better.
He dove back in the water. So I have a feeling he's a little daredevil type. That
oh
is
my gosh, they're so cute. I would have stayed longer if I wasn't freezing to death.
We saw one that was kind of standing with its nose in the corner, almost like it was putting a timeout.
Yeah, it was pouting about something. But yeah, it was really cute to see the penguins. And then at the end of the ride, like in Disney fashion, there's a gift shop.
Of course.
And it's a brand new gift shop.
Yes, it is.
We're gonna put. I took video of the gift shop and such. We'll put on our YouTube channel.
Yes.
But yeah, so this store is cute. They have penguin attire. They have penguin lounge flies.
They had penguin stuffed animals and such that
they're
were
so
really
cute.
Some were really cute.
And penguin track merchandise, but not a ton.
Not a lot. They have probably five or six things, I would
a
say.
A shirt,
that, yeah.
A water bottle, stuff like that.
Yeah, so little things. But it was nice. A nice little coaster. Enjoyed it. Pass holder previews are the rest of this week, and then the 7th, the ride opens to the public.
Yeah.
And I don't think there's a virtual queue. So for anybody who's used to virtual queues, you don't need one for this.
You can just go stand in line.
You can go stand in line and ride
How
this
about
ride,
that?
Which is fantastic. So I just wanted to backtrack a little bit. So last Wednesday, Michelle and I were invited out to Disney Springs for the Flavors of Florida media event.
Uh-huh.
And we started off our evening at Jock Lindsay's Hangar Bar, which they had us on the patio, and it was
hot.
Really hot. They gave us water when we checked in, so Disney did give us water.
SeaWorld did not give water today.
So we got our water at the check-in. They put us on the patio, and then they brought the chefs out. They brought the different executives and such from the Disney Springs.
No presentation.
This was just media. This was not open to the public.
No, and it was a pretty small group, too.
It was that. So they got to we got to try a couple things there. We tried the poutine that they're going to be selling at the poutine walk-up over by Lego store.
Yeah, but it had pork in it, so I didn't try it. But the fries were great.
Yeah, fries with pork and then like a cheese sauce that was on it. It was really good, actually. And then they brought out another one, which was some kind of goat cheese dip with homemade salt and vinegar chips or salt chips.
Like kettle cooked chips.
You liked the chips. You thought they were really good.
I love chips and I love fries. I just don't like some of the yuck that goes on it.
Did you try the goat cheese dip, though? I think you
a little bit.
A little bit. Yeah.
I'm just not a fan of goat cheese. I mean,
I think it's an acquired taste.
It is. And here's the thing. So, sidebar. When I go to these events, I already know what I'm not going to eat, and that's most of it.
Most of it. 99% of it.
Yeah.
You're not going to touch.
But, so, if it's not meat, I will give it a shot.
Right.
Because I know it's not anything gross. So, I, we'll try things, but it doesn't mean necessarily I'm going to like them.
Right. Yeah,
but so there's some goat cheese dip, but the chips were really good. And when we were at the Hangar Bar, they showed us the brand new Disney Springs beer.
Yes. So it's called Sunshine Stroll Orange Pilsner.
Yes. And it's made just for Disney Springs.
Just for Disney. Even says on the can for Disney Springs.
Yes, it does.
So this is only available at the Disney-owned bars throughout Disney Springs.
Mm-hmm.
So you can get there in either the can, which they will open. You can't get a closed can to save as a souvenir.
Yeah, you can't buy a case of beer.
No, you can't buy that. And there's no place to buy it at all. You can get the one can to walk around and drink, or you can get it in a draft and walk around and drink it. And you can drink it walking around the springs. I think it's good for that type of environment.
Because the alcohol level isn't really high. And me, even being not a beer drinker, they had us, they poured some for us to test
sample,
out. And it's citrusy, kind of like a Blue Moon beer. Mm-hmm. Like you put an orange, piece of orange in there.
Yep.
So, but it was, I think it was better than other beers I've tried because I don't like beers. I like mixed drinks. I'm not a beer drinker, but this wasn't bad.
No, and I'm not a drinker at all, but this one didn't have that beer aftertaste. That I don't like.
Ugh.
You take the drink and then 2 seconds later it hits you with that after. I don't like that. And that's one of the reasons I don't drink beer. This didn't have that though. You could taste the orange flavor.
Yeah, it was pretty good. So I would give that a thumbs up.
Definitely, that was good. And we got actually for the media they gave us each a can of the beer.
So we have the cans.
We have two cans that are not opened. eBay auction starts at, no, I'm just joking. They're not going to auction them off. they did give us two of them. So those are part of our collection. Cause it is, it's definitely a keepsake that not many people will have.
No. And I believe it's just for the summer, isn't it?
It's supposed to stick around.
Is it going
to
stick
around? Yeah. I was reading about that, that it's going to be there for the entire Flavors of Florida, but then it is going to be available after Flavors of Florida as well. So I guess they've been in, you were talking to Matt Simon about it.
Yeah. And he was saying he said it took like 2 years for this to come to be, to get the right artwork, the right flavor, the right whatever. So basically it's a citrus beer.
Yeah. And basically Disney to have its own beer. I mean, really, that's
yeah, it's
cool.
I thought that, you know what's weird is the whole event, I thought the coolest thing was having your own beer.
I agree. It was kind of a cool, even though we're not beer drinkers, it's just kind of a cool thing that Disney was able to get. And you don't picture Disney having their own beer.
Right. So after the Hangar Bar, they took us over to Art Smith's Homecoming.
Yes.
And they debuted a new Cuban sandwich.
Which was very good.
Which I didn't eat.
So I ate hers and mine.
They had like the hush puppies that are really good. And the eggs.
The deviled eggs that they make, which are really good. I really like those a lot. They're messy.
They are messy. I think I ate mine with a fork, which I don't usually eat deviled eggs with a fork.
No, usually you can pick it up, but it's more of the
it's very top heavy. It goes the filling goes up really high.
Yeah.
And then so in addition to their Cuban sandwich, they also have a dragon fruit mojito that is part of Flavors of Florida. And for those of you that don't know what Flavors of Florida is, Disney Springs has all kinds of different menu items or like each one will have like one or two little new things just for the summer.
Right.
And it's usually something that has to do with Florida. A lot of the stuff that they have is like things that were grown in Florida. Like they use the produce that were, you know, it's all about Florida.
Yeah, it is.
Hence Flavors of Florida.
But yeah, like Michelle said, though, you get a lot of the different citruses we have in Florida. You get a lot of the
strawberries too.
Strawberries, seafood from Florida waters, even the beef and pork and such they use, everything is from Florida that they try to use for this event. And I think almost every restaurant at Disney Springs participates in this.
Yeah, I think so, because I'm looking at the brochure that they gave us. Just some examples that they have. There's an Orange Bird Dome Cake at Amorette's. There is, like, even the B.B. Wolf Sausage Company has a sandwich, the Boathouse. Chicken Guy has a sunshine shake. That's a hard one.
Sunshine,
so it's
shake.
Basically an orange milkshake. Let's see. There was one I wanted to in particular talk about. Hold on. Let me find it. Okay, so at sidebar, we're going to take this. We're going to pause this for a second, and we're going to go back.
Okay.
So after homecoming, they split us up into different groups, and they sent us to different restaurants. So they sent us to Eat by Manit.
Yes.
Over where Wolfgang Puck Express used to be.
Correct. Over there by World of Disney, or I'm sorry, Earl of Sandwich, and then the
Christmas
store.
Yes. So if you know where Wolfgang Puck Express used to be, which I missed that place. Mm-hmm. They had great fries. They had that barbecue chicken pizza.
So good.
That was a really good restaurant.
We used to go there a lot just as we were walking around the springs. That would be our stop to go
there. If we didn't feel like going to Earl, we'd go there.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, so this new place, Eat, is there, EET. And it's Indian food, if you haven't been. So this was something that, you know, after all of the food they already gave us, they wanted us to actually have dinner.
Right. We could order anything on the menu we wanted.
Right. And I didn't know what to get. So I had a hard time. You know, we're honest here, so I'm just going to tell you how it is.
Right.
I had a hard time because I only eat white meat chicken. I asked. It was all dark meat chicken, so
right.
That's a no. So I had a falafel type of rice bowl with some sort of spinach sauce on it. And it was stuff like that. They had bowls. They had little pizzas. What did you have?
I had it was a beer cheese flatbread that had the tandoori. I think I'm probably not pronouncing that right, but it had that tandoori chicken on it. It was actually pretty good. I was just so full from everything else I had eaten previous to this that I couldn't eat that much of it. So I only ate about half of it, but it was on the naan bread, which was really good as a flatbread. So I think
naan bread's good.
Naan bread's really good. So I wouldn't say I wouldn't try it again if I could, but I don't think it's a place me and you would probably go to. If we were going there with other people, we're going there and we just showed up there.
I would get the bread service and probably a cocktail. Because speaking of cocktails, so so for Flavors of Florida, they have a really cool one. So it's called Sunny Days. So what it is a orange. I'll tell you what's in it first. It's made with whipped vodka and orange cream with an orange ice pop. So basically, it is a slushy. It's a boozy slushy with vodka, and they put a creamsicle sticking out the top of it. And it tastes like a creamsicle. It was delicious.
It was. They gave everybody a sample of it. It did not taste like it was alcohol.
No, and that's what's scary.
So you could probably, if they, I'm sure Disney, it's not going to be cheap for one, but.
No, it tasted like a creamsicle slush.
It really did. It was so good. They gave us all a sample, and then they had the full cup passing around with the creamsicle in it.
Pretty good.
It tasted really good. But yeah, you could get in trouble with that. I'm sure.
Yes, you could, but I would go back for a bread service and one of them slushies. But no, it's just not really our type, our thing.
No.
But anyway, across, so this runs through the summer. They have cooking demonstrations at 9:30 in the morning on Fridays starting this week. And you can go to the different places. And there's going to be like a pamphlet where you can, so it runs through August 11th. And you can pick up a brochure that'll tell you what foods are at the different locations so that you can decide which one you want to try.
And there's actually a game that, so I know one of the things people like to do at Epcot is the
scavenger hunt.
Scavenger hunt. And there's something similar to that in this program that we were talking to Matt Simon, who's the VP of the Springs, and he said they put this game in there so people can learn the backstory of the Springs. So it's a way to teach people what the backstory of the Springs is. While
so it's like a sticker
game.
Type of thing like they do at Epcot.
Yeah, I don't know if you get a prize if you complete it. I don't know.
They give you an orange.
They give you an orange beer. But it's really great. If you go on the Main Street Mouse, we have a listing of all the food in our article that
we
put out.
Do.
I think it was last week we put it out.
I have a little video what the beer can looks like on Instagram and Facebook, too.
But we will, I'm sure, I don't know if we'll be at all the cooking demonstrations, but I'm sure we'll go to a couple of them. And there's also going to be more exclusive cooking demonstrations with some of the chefs at their actual restaurants.
But those are paid events, aren't they?
Those are paid events. They'll be at Art Smith's going to have one. Morimoto's going to have one. I think Boathouse was going to have one. I think there was three or four of them total.
All that information is on our site if you look up Flavors of Florida.
Yes, definitely. So check that out. It's a great event, and you'll have fun there, I promise you. So that's what we did last Wednesday. And then Friday, this past Friday through Sunday, Michelle and I both just did not feel good. And I don't know if it's because we were running so much, but our bodies just said, okay, you guys are done for a couple of days. So we kind of just...
It was the most boring weekend.
It was so boring. We just really laid around the house and did not do next to anything, but maybe doze off and watch Seinfeld and other shows.
And Mike and Molly.
And Mike and Molly and Golden Girls.
Oh my God, we're so boring. We are the lamest people around.
Those are three good sitcoms.
Okay, they are, but... You know, I guess sometimes, you know, you just have to listen to what your body's telling you and it's time to just take a break.
And our body said, it's time to take a break.
Like, you're done.
Still not feeling great today, but a little bit.
No, better. But we did go out in the sun and do our job today.
We had to do our job, so we had to go suck it up and get out there and do
suck
that.
Suck it up.
So, but that's really all that we've done in the last week. So that was our fun times. But we do have some Disney news to discuss with you guys.
We do.
So the biggest news last week that came out that caused the most upheaval, the biggest hullabaloo.
Hullabaloo, scuttlebutt, riffraff, rigmarole.
Is changes to the Lightning Lane Genie Plus whole situation over there. I'm going to let you discuss this because you talked to it with Fox 35 last week to record a segment.
Okay, so I had to record a segment for Fox News, and I dumbed it down as easy as I could. Now, when I say dumb it down, I don't mean any of you or the news people I'm dumbing it down for. I'm doing it for me because I get very overwhelmed with too much information. So I'm like, let's make this as simple as possible. So I'm going to give it a go. Hopefully my information is correct. So Genie Plus is now going to be Lightning Lane Multipass and Lightning Lane Single Pass that starts on July 24th.
Okay, so a couple more weeks.
Yeah, a couple more weeks of regular old Genie Plus. So
that we don't like.
Yeah, I hate Genie Plus.
Lightning Lane's not looking too good either.
I don't think I've ever told anybody.
I've never heard you say
that.
But I
hate Genie Plus.
I think it's probably in every episode of the show we've done so far.
For those of you that don't know me by now, don't know how I feel, I hate Genie Plus. Okay, so this new one is not going to be much better, so maybe I'll be like, I hate Lightning Lane Multipass.
But Genie Plus, you won't hate it anymore because it's gone.
bye. Peace out, Genie Plus.
You can't film my Disney day.
That's right. Anyway, I don't want to sit there and hate on Genie Plus because it got canned. So good. It deserved it. So
wow.
I'm so bitter. All right. Anyway, back to the news. So
you're bitter. You won. It lost. It's out of there now.
Yeah, but still pay to play. And yeah, I know. And I don't like that. Okay. So basically, you're going to, instead of having to get up at the butt crack of dawn on, you know, in the morning to try to get your quote unquote Genie Plus selections,
right?
Resort guests will be able to do that 7 days in advance, and other ticketed guests will be able to do it 3 days in advance. I don't know about us annual pass holders.
Yeah, we don't get it.
They don't care about us. Sorry, bitter,
wow,
bitter, bitter,
bitter. I was gonna say Disney
bitter.
Plus got her all bitter now. This is gonna be. Angry
I don't like it.
It's gonna be an angry show.
It is. It's gonna. Here comes my anger. All right. So prices are gonna vary by date because that's what they do. You know, everything is. You know, you're gonna pay more certain times.
Right.
And here's the, so wait. I'm gonna wanna get ahead of myself because I'm bitter. So you get to pick. There's like three rides. You get to pick one from tier one and two from tier two. Now tier one is going to be like the more popular attractions, like the bigger stuff. You know, like Tiana's or like what's the name of that Space Mountain, stuff like that.
Guardians or Tron.
I don't know, because here's the thing. Now okay. Wait. Two of the lower tier is like Pirates, Haunted Mansion. Not that they're, you know, they're not the big roller coaster type ride.
Right. They're not the ones that people are waiting an hour plus.
Right. So, but here's the thing, all right? So your tier one rides are your good rides. But you also can get Lightning Lane single pass, and you basically pay a flat rate to go on, let's say, Tron.
So you just pay one rate. So you did that with Genie Plus. You could buy that
right.
one ride,
right.
which could be up to, I want to say, $18, depending on the date.
I think some of them were even more.
So for one ride on Tron, you're going to pay $18. Now, the ride is about a minute and 20 seconds long.
Right.
So you're paying roughly a dollar per 10 seconds.
Yeah, which I think is crap. So a lot of people were saying that this is very reminiscent of the old Fast Pass mm-hmm. as far as being able to pick ahead of time and whatever.
Okay.
But I personally, maybe I'm missing something, because Fast Pass, you go to the kiosk, you put the ticket in, you get it back.
Well, no, if you remember, after that ended, though, there was the time where you could, when you had your park reservation, because we used to do it for the meetup, we'd go and pick our three rides we were going to do at the meetup.
That's right. Thank you.
So that's what people
would
try to
imagine. But it was
free. But it was free, and you just had to pick the time period. So when we did it for the meetup, we'd be like, okay, we're all going to ride Haunted Mansion from 1:30 to 2:30, so try
yes.
to get your time.
Thank you
in
for
that.
Jogging my memory, because I'm so, like, it feels yeah. like it was ages ago.
Yeah, so the paper Fast Pass was even before that.
Right, and they still did that out at Disneyland when we went.
Yes, I think it's gone now.
Yes.
I think it's on the app now out there. But yeah, they even had the papers probably 3 years ago when we were out there.
Yeah, because I remember getting it for Mission Breakout out there.
And I remember when we got it for Radiator Springs.
That's right. Yeah. You're right. But yeah, the good old days are gone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's like how it used to be, but you're still paying.
Yes.
And I'm trying to, I have notes still that I wrote
down. Because you're already paying to get in the park, and you're going to probably buy food and souvenirs and snacks and such throughout the day, but we're going to also charge you more to get on certain rides.
Yeah.
So can I just ask, no, I won't go there. Never mind. Okay, I'll ask. What are you paying for then to get in the park? I mean, it's almost like you're paying per ride. Just bring back the old e-ticket system and have us pay per ride what we want to ride.
You are paying to walk around in the sweltering heat.
That's not worth it.
And go in gift shops and buy expensive food.
That's not worth it.
You can stand in line. Oh.
No, not for all. You can't for Tron. You can't for Tiana's right now.
See, and I think that is BS. Okay, so there's a whole, I didn't tell you this.
Oh, boy.
So speaking of Hullabaloo and Scuttlebutt and Riff Raff.
She has that
rigmarole.
She has her crime documentary look on her face right now.
I do. You know, I love a good scoop. That's what I do for a living is, you know.
You're a scooper.
I'm a scooper.
She works at Baskin Robbins.
Oh, ice cream sounds good. okay, so last night over on the X/Twitter.
Yes.
All right. So there's this account. Listen to me. I'm like, are you guys listening?
I know you're whispering. I'm
like, so. Shut up. So, is that creepy? It's gossipy.
Okay.
Okay, ready for the gossip?
Okay.
Okay, so there's chatter over there saying that somebody went to a ride, and I forget which one it was, but it was a good one.
Okay.
And the wait time said 65 minutes. I'm guessing, paraphrasing.
Okay.
And it was basically walk on. So then they went on another ride. They had like a 50 minute wait, and they waited like 12 minutes. So then there was another ride they didn't, and lo and behold, same.
Mm-hmm.
So
me and you've noticed that too.
I know we have. So which I, you know what, we're going to do research, like a research paper. We're going to go and we're going to like look at times versus how much we
stand.
You know,
put everybody on hold right now on the show. You guys just sit there. We're going to run to the park and we'll be back in like 20 minutes.
No, now I really, because so we actually investigated this before, but now I would kind of like to dig deeper into it, because people are saying now that this is how they get you to pay. By inflating wait times.
Right, because most people are just going to see the time and they're just going to keep walking.
Right, okay, and here's the thing. Let me just put a little note on this. I love Disney. I grew up with Disney. I made my career around Disney. Disney.
Mm-hmm.
This is the one thing I just can't get behind. Like, I can try to make sense of other things. I can say, this is great, that's great, this change is good. You know, I try to be positive as much as possible. But this whole paying for fast pass crap, I just can't. And I feel like it would be very disingenuous if I sat here and said, oh, I'm so excited, you can pick, you know, blah, blah, blah. No, it's not exciting. It is crap, because things are so expensive right now, and to have to pay, they could have just gone back to the way it was because it was working.
Right, but they weren't making extra money at
but
that.
But they raised prices on everything.
Oh yeah, prices have gone up probably $20 to $30 per day ticket since the old way of doing it that was working fine. Plus now, if you want to go on more of these rides, and there's such a thing as virtual queue on certain rides that you can't get on unless
it's
you get
so
up.
Confusing. Really. And here's the thing: so I read all your comments when we put out articles, we put out whatever across the Main Street Mouth social media, and the biggest amount of feedback, other than it's crap for these prices, is people don't want to micromanage their day.
No.
Like, you have to be looking at your phone all the time to see wait times, to see what you have next, to see whatever. Mm-hmm. And I really think that there's something to be said for old ways of doing things. Mm-hmm. Like, technology is good, but not always.
No, and I think a lot of it comes down to the people not wanting to spend. So, like, when me and you used to come here, like in 2009 when we came with the boys to mm-hmm. Disney, and they had the paper fast passes uh-huh. at the time. So you did manage your time somewhat. You go there, you get your pass. Okay, we have to ride this between 5:10 and 6:12 or whatever, however it worked back then. And that was our managed time for that. But you could ride something else while you're waiting for that time to come up.
Yeah.
You had so much time. But I think Disney looked at it, and a lot of parks that had extreme roller coasters. A lot of Cedar Point is a perfect example of this. So Cedar Point, you would go to ride Top Thrill Dragster. You planned to wait in line 3 hours.
Oh yeah, it was long.
And there was no queue. You were in the sun. You were hoping there was a vending machine somewhere in line.
They had fans blowing on you, and sometimes a DJ on the weekends.
On the weekends there was a DJ, but you would spend 3 hours. Now you only paid $40 to get in the park. It was dirt cheap to get in the park back then.
Yes.
And some rides you could walk on a lot quicker, but the main big rides, you would wait hours to get on it, and you'd come home and you'd be like, yeah, I did 3 rides yesterday.
Whoopee,
but you didn't pay anything extra for those rides. You just waited in line.
And you could choose where you felt you wanted to spend your time in line.
What was worth it to you?
Yes, yes, yes.
Somewhere along the line, and even parks like Cedar Point, Universal does it, they have that express lane. You could purchase express lane now, and you can ride all the rides once while you're there quicker. You go through the exit line, and you have a special line. You get in, you get on the ride faster than the people who are willing to wait hours for the ride. But you paid for it. You paid an upgraded fee.
Yeah, but you paid to go in these lines, but you don't have to say, okay, I'm going to ride Hagrid's at, well, Hagrid's not a part of that. I'm not going to ride Forbidden Journey,
right?
You know, this time and that time. Like, after 4 o'clock, when you have that pass, you can go through any lightning
right.
lane, quote unquote.
But you can also pay for
pass.
That.
You can.
Yeah.
Now, why can't Disney implement something like that?
One ballpark price to cover everything.
Yeah. And if you want, and do like after 4 o'clock to where you, the if you have that specific pass, you
pass
can walk.
Holder.
Yeah, you
yeah.
can walk
yeah.
on. And so I was was Facebook yesterday or the day before. I don't know. My days are all screwed together because
when you don't leave the house for
when you don't leave the house every day is the same. But one of like the it was like a throwback page, and they showed like a barbecue type of party in the late 90s.
Okay.
And it was a video of people standing around eating, drinking, talking, whatever. And I said, what's one thing you notice about this party?
Nobody has a cell phone.
Nobody is on the phone. Well, you know, they were just very brand new in the late 90s. But
they weren't fun. They were just to make
It was make a phone call. People were talking to each other.
Yeah.
People were laughing, you know? And now I'm not being on it, even trying to be a hypocrite, because I have my phone in my hand all the time too. But that's what the world has become.
Yeah.
Everybody's got their faces in their phones.
And they want instant gratification. And if I have to pay a little bit, and it's kind of the same thing that Apple and Google Play Store use. You're playing the video game. Oh, for 99 cents, you can get 5 more lives. Well, I don't want to wait 6 hours for 5 more lives, so I'll pay the 99 cents. And that's what Disney's doing, too. Disney's like, hey, if you pay $12, you can ride the ride right now.
Yeah, but here's the thing, and like we've said this a million times, when you have your family with you or you're in a group, that money adds up fast in addition to what you've already spent as far as travel, as far as tickets, hotel.
Right.
And some thousands days, and thousands of dollars.
Just to get in the park alone, some days is up to $179, I want to say, depending on time of year and when you're going. So if you have a family before you go to the Magic Kingdom, you're spending $179 just for the Magic Kingdom. Now, you can't go to
Epcot.
Walk in
the door.
You can't go to Hollywood Studios. You can't go anywhere else. You're spending that. So if you've got a family of four, you're spending roughly $180 a person. So you're looking at, what is that? Trying to do quick math.
I don't math.
It'd be about $720. Without tax and everything. Add tax, you're at $800 probably easily. Now, you get in the park and you're like, oh, we all want to ride Tron and we didn't get a virtual queue. So if we pay $18 a person, we can ride Tron. Oh, yeah, sure. That sounds like a great deal. So let me spend another $72, which is almost half the price of a one-day full admission to ride Tron, which takes 2 minutes to ride. You spend more time in the queue than you will on the ride.
That's a fact.
And then you get off that, you're like, oh, I want to ride Tiana's, but we didn't get a virtual queue for Tiana. Oh, if you pay another $23 each, you can go ride Tiana's. So now you've just spent $160 for two rides.
Or, Lord forbid, you want to take the monorail over to Epcot, or if you have a park hopper and you want to go on Guardians, that's going to cost you too.
And you paid more to get the park hopper.
That's right.
So it's, I get it from both sides. I understand the business side. Disney looked at it like, if these people are willing to pay it, we're going to charge them.
That's right.
If they're willing to spend the money, why not? We'll do it. We can help pad our numbers and make us look even bigger than we are. And then there's the person who's going, I barely could afford to come here.
Yeah.
We're bringing in sandwiches we bought at Publix.
I know.
Because we can't afford to eat at your walk-ups because the food is garbage and it's expensive. And now I can't afford to pay for these rides. And now I can't do it because I didn't know I had to get up at 7 a.m. to get a Guardian or a Tron reservation or a Guardians reservation.
Virtual, yeah. So you'd have to pay for it if you couldn't get the virtual queue. I just think that there's got to be a better way to go about this. And again, I know that I'm living in La La Land if I think that they're going to go back to the old way. But they should.
No, it's the one thing I've always said, and people are always like, I want low gas prices again, and I want groceries to be back to price. They will never go back because once we've agreed to pay what it's at now, they're never going to go back.
Okay, but I disagree there only because like gas and groceries are a necessity. Disney is a luxury.
No, but what I'm saying is that once they charge a price for it, even if everything gets better economy-wise, they never take
Disney's not going to go back.
And Disney has no reason to. Disney set records last year with how much money they made at the parks. And everybody goes, oh, well, they probably had more people because COVID ended and people go to the parks. So, no, it was physically more people attended these parks than ever in the history. So it didn't matter what they charged at the gate. They still made more money than they ever had because more people came through the gate and the turnstiles than they've ever done. And it had nothing to do with the price of the tickets that they made that much money. It has to do with more people are coming. Even though people sit there and say, I don't have money for this. I can't pay my bills. Yeah. I can't pay my groceries. And it's like Disney, as much as it is, it's a luxury.
But people like
some people have to have it.
They have to have it. I know like for us, when it was the only place I wanted a vacation when we lived in Michigan, it was my happy place. It was, you know, so I understand that thinking.
And ironically, now our vacation place is Michigan.
We go to Michigan. It's reverse.
Which is a lot cheaper than Disney.
Right. I call it like reverse vacation.
Mm-hmm.
So I get it. It's just, I wish that there was a way to, make it somewhat better. But as of right now, these are the changes. Yeah. I don't want to keep harping on this subject, but these are the changes. They go in effect on July 24th. You're still paying.
You are. And I agree with you. I think Universal loves their pass holders, and they've made, and granted, Universal's day tickets aren't that much cheaper than Disney's, if they're cheaper at all. If you want to go to both parks, it's expensive. If you want to do all the stuff over there, it is expensive. However, if you're an annual pass holder at Universal and you've got the highest level of pass, which we have at Disney, we have the highest level. And it's still, the highest level at Universal is a lot cheaper than the highest level at Disney.
Right, and you get more.
You get more, you get better discounts, and you get discounts at walk-ups
for
food. You don't have to just sit-down meals.
They have pass holder days.
Pass holder days, merchandise is better discounts depending on your level, what store you're at. Plus, you get the after 4 o'clock walk-on lightning lane for free every day of the year that your pass is valid.
Right.
So, and it doesn't work on all rides. So, like you said, Hagrid's isn't on the list, but VelociCoaster is.
Yeah, it's so weird because, like, I don't know why Hagrid's is not, but almost everything is.
Yes, but VelociCoaster is considered one of the best rides in Orlando.
And it's newer. It's only a couple years old.
And it's on there to where after 4 o'clock, you can go right on it. You can get in the lightning lane. You wait 10 minutes, 15 minutes, whatever. But you still get on the ride a lot quicker. So, I wish Disney would look at that. And I know they're reeling still from the money they lost during the 4-month shutdown of COVID. Okay, and I understand, but they've made a lot of cuts around the parks. A lot of people lost their jobs. A lot of people weren't brought back. A lot of positions weren't refilled.
I mean, everything went up in cost, like even Disney Plus. Like, everything has gone up. So
a pretzel costs more. A Coke, a Diet Coke, cost you, what, over $5 now, I think?
I think so.
For a 20-ounce Coke, you can go to the store and buy a 12-pack of cans cheaper.
Right.
It's just crazy to me when you really think about how much, but you're on vacation and you're on your vacation. You don't want to think about what it costs. And Disney takes full advantage of that.
You'll deal with it when you get back. That's how we always were. Like, we get back home and I'd be like, we spent how much?
Yeah. And we usually did cash. We rarely ever used a credit card when we were at Disney. So it was all out of our bank account. And when we get back, we'd be like, oh crap, we spent a lot more than we should have.
Yeah. But you get caught up, and that's what they hope for. But anyway, enough with cost. But yeah. So yeah, still pay to play.
And it didn't get, I know a lot of people were excited when they announced this because they thought it was going back to the old way. And it is, except that you're paying for it now.
It is, but it isn't.
It's not free like it was before. I remember because when we do the meetups and we always had to try to set, and that was hard to set it up. We always did it and it always worked out good for our people. So,
yeah, but see, we haven't done a meetup in a while, and I don't know if we would at a park because of
it'd be too hard logistically.
It would be hard. Well, unless we just went on a small, well, anyway. I don't want to get on that subject. But anyway, so yeah, that's the deal.
So that was the hullabaloo for last week. They also announced some of the 4th of July stuff that's going on this week.
Would you like me to tell you what's going on?
I would, because I know you have it all documented right there.
I do. Now, mind you, I just did a segment for this stuff last week, so that's why I still have my handy-dandy notes.
And that's why I'm letting you run it.
All right. So if you are going to be in town this week and are interested in fireworks, Magic Kingdom, July 3rd and 4th at 9:20 are the 360 fireworks Disney Celebrates America. So those are the ones that you can see from multiple places. It's, again, 360. And if you don't want to be in the park, you can see it from the Contemporary. They have that balcony that you can watch.
Actually, I think you can watch it where the boats are, where you can get on the ferry boat. You can actually watch it from the TV.
Yeah, so if you don't want to be right in all the fray of everybody, you know, being all there, you can do that or on the 3rd and the 4th. They also have dance parties that run all day. Different locations. The most fun one in the evening will be at Cinderella Castle. So that's fun. Kind of turns Magic Kingdom into like a dance club in front of the castle.
Right, which is really kind of cool.
It is kind of cool. So that's what's going on Magic Kingdom, and everything ends at 1 a.m. So right, like the DJ, you got time to go home.
Yep. It's funny because they'll be out there saying, we're going to go all night long. Well, until 1.
Yeah, until like, good night, everybody go home. So over at Epcot, they are doing things as well. The Heartbeat of Freedom is a little show after Luminous. Okay. So Luminous is at 9 o'clock, but then after Luminous, it's kind of how they used to do with the Christmas at the end. So they're doing a little 4th of July add-on to Luminous.
Nice.
That's the 3rd and 4th at 9 o'clock.
Okay.
There's going to be, of course, special photo pass opportunities. Spaceship Earth will be red, white, and blue. And various 4th of July foods all over the place this week as far as across property. We do have an article on our site that has all the different 4th of July foods. Now, you take a breath. Now, resorts are going to have special characters and food offerings, movies outside, campfires, etc. And if you go to the Contemporary or Grand Floridian, they do have 4th of July cheesecake and a red, white, and it's called red, white, and brownie. It's a red velvet brownie.
Oh, yum.
And if you're going over to Universal, their fun kicks off at 6:15. There's going to be music on their big stage. They have their new evening show at 9.
Show.
Yes. And then there will be special 4th of July pyrotechnics over the lagoon, and that's at 10 o'clock on the 4th.
Okay,
so
great.
Yeah, that's what I got for you for 4th of July fun.
And I just want to add in that we are going to be, we're not sure if we're going to Epcot on the 3rd or Magic Kingdom on the 3rd and the 4th, the other one, but we will be at both of them this week, and we will make sure to videotape.
I'm going to say probably Epcot on the 3rd and Magic on the 4th.
So I do plan to record both shows for our YouTube channel with the added features like after Luminous, that part. So that will. So if you are unable to make it to the parks, we will have the video footage of both of those for you.
Hopefully.
And knowing you, you'll probably go live.
Well, I might. I don't know if I should go live or just take little videos. I don't know. It'll be a game time decision. Plus, it depends on how many people are there and my signal and everything else.
It will be a madhouse. That's all I can promise you.
It's going to be nuts. See, and that's the thing. Like, okay, we have every intention on getting some coverage, but if it is a madhouse and it rains and it's crowded, we may not stay.
So we will do our best. We can definitely promise we will try our best to get all that for you.
We're going to give it a go.
We're going to give it a go. So other thing that came out this last week was information about the Disney Adventure Cruise Line ship that's going to be coming out. It's going to be sailing China? Is that where I read?
Singapore.
Singapore. It's going to be out of there. And then they also dropped some information about the Aristocats theme lounge that's going to be on board the ship. And then they also put out some of the menus of for the ship. So if you go out to the Main Street Mouse, we do have some articles that have been out in the last week regarding
we have a whole lot of content
lot
on
of content.
Our site at themainstreetmouse.com. So make sure
you read. Yes, mainstreetmouse.com. So if you go out there and read about that, you can learn about what's going to be on the new ship coming to Disney very soon.
Yeah, and the treasure isn't even here yet, but we're talking about the one after it.
How
but
is that crazy?
What do we know?
I know. Show us the other one. So next I have Flavors of Florida. We already covered that. So the other thing, the big news that dropped today was about Eat to the Beat. The concert series is coming today. It is going to run from, I just read this, August 30th through November 18th.
Right.
With musical groups, actually nonstop every day of the festival for Flower and Wine, right? Or no, Food and Wine, sorry.
Flower and Wine.
Flower and Wine's great, but Food and Wine's even better. So some of the bands coming, we like Sugar Ray, they're coming back.
Mm-hmm.
Who else have we seen here? We've seen Tiffany.
We have.
She's really good. Sheila E. is back. Mercy Me. I'm just trying, I don't want Joey Fatone and Friends.
I was going to say Joey Fatone and Friends.
Joey Fatone and Friends. David Archuleta's new this year. Billy Ocean's back. Hanson's back. Boys to Men. Magic, exclamation point.
We have no clue who that
is. But they will be there. Smash Mouth and 98 Degrees. And 90 Degrees will actually be closing out the festival this year. And there's a lot of other bands. So like we said, there's an article that went out today with all the details of who's going to be what weekends. I don't know if it's complete. I haven't looked at it. It looks like there is some holes as far as dates. And
they might add more people.
Yeah.
You know what's funny, though? So I haven't been online much today because we've been working. But I have noticed some of the chatter, which is so weird because it just shows you have people from all ages online. Mm-hmm. I mean, all. And some people were saying they don't know who any of those people are. And I think it was the older crowd that didn't know because it was, you know, it's late 90s, early 2000s.
Yes.
That's like totally our youth right there. And so we are all about it. But if you are like closer to my parents' age, or would they be like, who?
Well, yeah, because some of the past acts, you'd see Herman's Hermits with Peter Noon. Yeah. You'd see Mickey Thomas with Starship.
Yeah.
And we knew who Starship was, but they were also way before our time.
Right. So it's weird how they have... Okay, but here's the crazy part. And here's, I guess I just realized how badly in denial I am, like, just now. To me, I'm like, okay, so they have some more current bands. Not really, because...
They're 90s.
To me, like late 90s and early 2000s feels new still.
So you really want to make, you really want me to shake your world a little bit?
Oh, no.
So Tiffany is one of the headliners for E to the Beat.
That's like 87, 88.
You saw Tiffany. She took the New Kids on the Block on tour originally. And then the New Kids replaced her as the headliner, didn't they?
They did a switcheroo. Yes,
and that was when Tiffany was doing her, after her mall tour.
Oh, my God.
So if you really go back in time.
Okay, but that was like long time ago.
But that's when she, that's a lot of the music she's.
I wasn't talking about Tiffany. I was talking about like Nick Lachey. I was talking about
Nick Lachey, Smash Mouth. Well, they were late 90s, early 2000s.
Early 2000s. Hey, actually, Nick Lachey had music up until like 2006, I want to say. Then he like started doing TV.
Billy Ocean's on this list. He's 80s.
Okay, yeah. And I'm not a Billy Ocean fan. I was little when he was out. Don't care. But Joey Fatone and Friends is my favorite because that's totally our thing.
And he brings out some good friends.
He's got great friends.
He did. Last year we saw Lance Bass was the big name.
Which was so exciting.
Montel Jordan was there.
Yes.
I don't think MC Search was there last year, but we've seen him in past years with him. Ryan Cabrera.
Ryan Cabrera is always there.
That's one of his staples that comes in because Ryan lives locally. So it's always a good time at that show.
And crowded.
And Practical Jokers.
Yeah, and Practical Jokers. And it is a crowded, crowded show. So if you're planning to go see Joey Fatone and Friends, then you want to make sure that you have your park reservations and that you plan to go early because it is packed.
It is packed. And even if, honestly, it's one of those ones you might want to consider the dining package for. To do a sit-down dining so you
make
can
make sure you got it.
Yeah, because the seating, she's not joking, the seating for that concert goes crazy. I mean, there's...
But we go,
we go every year, and we somehow get
we
in
see
there.
Last year, we went, like, the whole weekend. We were, like, totally weirdos went all the time.
The first time, we got really lucky because a friend of ours actually works for Joey, and he got us into the family and friends section.
We sat with their families, which was very weird but kind of cool.
Yeah, Joey's dad was behind us, and Ryan Cabrera's dad was in front of us.
Yes.
And then Ashley Eckstein came and walked in front of us. And
sat right by us.
So it was kind of cool to be down there. And then you saw different people from news media and such were all around us. So it was really kind of cool to be down in there.
So maybe we'll get to do that again. But if not, we're still going to the show.
Oh, yeah, we'll be there for sure all those days because it is honestly the greatest couple days.
It's more entertaining, I guess you could say.
And he's only doing 2 days this year. Last year,
it was three.
Four.
And he usually does it in August, and this time it's October.
Yeah, October 6th and 7th, Joey Fatone and Friends. So if you're out there, we will be out there too.
We'll be there too. If you see us, make sure you say hi.
Most likely we'll be with Greg. So just look for the blue hair and you'll find us.
We'll be there.
Definitely. So let me go back to my list. So I think that was all we had for Disney news.
All right.
Other attractions. So you already talked about Universal's 4th of July festivities. Yes, sir. Another thing coming to Universal for HHN, they announced last week, Ghostbusters Frozen Empire House is returning to Ghostbusters are returning to HHN.
Yeah, just different theming.
Yes, different theming. So we went to the Ghostbusters house a few years back. It was Michelle's, I think, first house she did at HHN. And she actually liked it because it wasn't really scary. It was more you just walked through the first movie.
Yeah, and again, I've said this a million times, I hate jump scares, but that one I thought was a good one to break me in, I guess you could say.
Because you knew who the bad villains
were. I don't care if it's the Pope that jumped out at me. Like, I don't like to be scared. I mean, how many times is, like, the boys or, you know, or you creeped up on me and I jump out of my skin? I'm just one of those people that I don't do jump scares.
Would it be sacrilege to have, like, a Pope house, though, where you walk in?
I just use that as an example. I was trying to think of something that's not scary. Or, like, maybe that was a poor choice. But anyway, I was saying that
In your defense, though, the Ghostbusters, actually, some of the Ghostbusters kind of jumped out at you.
Right, like everything was. I mean, you're not afraid of the Ghostbusters, but they jump out from the corner and say, "Oh yeah, we're gonna this and that." It's like you're still scaring me.
Yeah, and they actually kind of looked like them.
They kind of did.
It was kind of creepy how good they actually were. So that was a really good house.
So we'll be interesting. It'll be interesting to see what they do with the Ghostbusters this year. Yeah, I know they have. How many is it? Two more to announce, or is it what
two
is
or
it?
One? I'm not sure. I have to check. I think I know the big named houses so far is Ghostbusters, and then the A Quiet Place.
Yeah.
Are the big, so maybe it's two more themed houses that are off major franchises.
See, and that's the thing. Like, if I feel like this year they have less that's franchise and more like just whatevers, yeah. You know. And I think they need more franchise.
And I'm waiting because it seems like every year they have one of the big horror characters from the 80s and 90s, and they haven't announced one. So you've had Chucky, you've had Freddy, you've had Michael Myers, you've had Jason. So I'll be curious if any of those get announced for this year to be one of these last few houses. I wish they'd bring back another Universal Monsters house, though. That's still
oh,
my favorite.
Oh, it scared me
time.
So bad.
I know. But
see, I would like them to do a trick-or-treat house. I would go in that, but I'd be terrified.
I did go to the house the one year they did have, and Sam popped up everywhere, and it was kind of
yeah.
Creepy.
So I don't know. It just it depends. So I guess we'll see, and as soon as we find out what the next houses are, we will be sure to report them.
Definitely, because we get excited when they do that. So another festival that's coming to SeaWorld is the return of their Bands, Brews, and Barbecue event, which is running July 6th through August 25th. If you've never been to this, it's just like it says. There's music, there's barbecue, and then there's beer. They're
happy summer.
Happy summer. So if you go to our website, you can see their list of musicians who are coming. Some of the groups: Queensryche, Low Cash, POD. The big one I saw was Quiet Riot is on the list. Bo Bice.
My goodness.
And then Tracy Byrd is actually going to be closing out. And there's I think he's a country star.
I don't know.
But there's a lot of different acts there. So if you're interested, those are also free with admission to go to those concerts. I know they have upgraded. You can pay to be closer if you want to. But if you go check out our website again, we have an article all about that on the site and gives you the times and all that and such for that.
Lots of info.
Lots of info. And then one more thing I wanted to mention that's going on locally that we got the press release for last week is that formerly the Blue Man Group used to be at Universal Orlando Resort.
Oh, yeah.
Now they are going to Icon Park. Later this year, I believe, it's going to open, and they're building a 500-seat theater for the Blue Man Group to come in and perform on iDrive there. So they are coming back. I think it was a three-year hiatus without them, and they are returning. So,
For those that don't know, like Icon Park is like the Orlando Eye, the big wheel.
Yes.
That area where there's Madame Tussauds and Sea Life Aquarium.
It is. So it's a great area, actually. If you're in town and you're just looking for something to eat, do go down to iDrive and around that park. There's lots of food. There's lots of shopping. Lots to do down there.
Yeah.
So definitely a place to go check out if you're in the area and looking for something fun to go do. But it says it's going to open late this year. So as soon as we have dates and such, I'm sure we will share that out with all of you because it'll be a press release we get sent.
Because that's what we do.
That's what we do. So that's really all the news we have. Do you have anything news-wise you want to talk about before I ask you your question?
No.
So, okay. I have a question, and I had to go check and make sure I hadn't asked you this one before. So I had to go back through each show to make sure I didn't ask you this before.
That's a lot of work.
But you've done some amazing media events over the years. We both have.
Mm-hmm.
Gotten to do a lot of cool stuff, a lot of things that we were just so excited to do.
Right.
Which one of those events, Disney, SeaWorld, whatever, wherever it was from, stands out to you as the one you were so excited that you got to do that you couldn't believe you were there, that you felt like, wow, how did I get here? I know you've said that with different events over the years.
I usually say that.
But which one is the one that, like, above all other ones, which one stands out in your mind the most? Which one do you still get excited about to talk about?
Well, it depends on what angle I would take.
Okay.
Because
you can have more than one, I guess.
Okay, thanks. You know, I'm multifaceted at what I have.
I know, you never can pick just one.
I know. So it wasn't my favorite event, but it was one that stands out because of what it was. And that is the opening of Toy Story Land. It has come up in my memories on Facebook. So that opened in 18. And I thought it stood out to me because I got to go behind the scenes and see it being built. I got to see Andy's backyard being put together and to see the merchandise ahead of time, to see the food ahead of time, like the tachos and the grilled cheese and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, I remember you had the hard hat tour the one time. You actually had to go out and buy shoes because you had to have special types of shoes to wear.
And I needed the same shoes when Galaxy's Edge was opening here because of hard hat tours. They make you wear, like, even if it's hot, long pants and hard shoes.
Right, because there's nails and there's wood and there's all kinds
of stuff. But what's so funny is they never even take us by any of that.
No, but they just got to be prepared in case something.
But anyway, so that one stands out to me because it was an opening of a brand new land. And I really felt like we were very privileged to be able to cover that, mm-hmm. And then to watch it be built, to do the media event. They gave me a handler for the day, which was so strange to me. I'm like, why do I'm nobody? Why
he
do
had
I
a
have
sign.
A handler? Yeah, we had signs with my, you know, like at the airport.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day when they did the dedication and Tim Allen was out there with Buzz,
right.
It was crazy. It was definitely a moment like, how in the hell did I get here?
Right.
But I've had those moments on each first type of thing. Like, I guess because I don't take any of it for granted,
mm-hmm.
like all of those things are important to me and I take them very seriously.
Right.
But I know, like the Tron event was really cool the first time. Well, each time we've got to go on like the cruise ships or the inaugural for the Wish, mm-hmm. or even recently being the first people to get on the new island.
Right.
It's like, how? Because, okay, so my dad puts this into perspective for me every once in a while when I need to be reminded.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the Walt Disney Company is worldwide. It's huge. It
biggest entertainment company in the world.
They have everything. And the fact that we are among the very few that get invited by Disney to cover these things and get exclusive coverage of, you know, new parks, new attractions, new island, new cruise ships,
mm-hmm.
new. And it's like, holy cannoli. Like, we're on that short list.
Right.
And I still don't know how sometimes. Like, I'm going to cry because it is so cool. I wish it translated into big bucks, but it doesn't.
It doesn't. It doesn't at all.
Experience-wise, it's great. It yeah. is stuff that, and not in my wildest dreams, growing up being a Disney girl and loving everything Disney, did I ever in a million years think that I would get to do these things. So, yeah, long and short of it is I appreciate all of it.
That's awesome. That's good. Yeah, I've got a couple that stand out for me. One would be the Marvel Day at Sea.
I knew you were going to say that.
Just because they unveiled the new show. Stan Lee was on the screen. He had just passed not too long before that. So it was touching, but he was part of the show that night and they had filmed his scenes before. And it was just great to see that. Another one is the Toy Story 4 premiere. We got to go to the media blitz with that.
The press junket,
yes.
with the actors.
Yes.
I was going to mention that. That was cool.
That was a really great one and so cool that we were a part of that. There was another one I was thinking about and I lost it. It's there, but there just, like you said, there's just been so many great events that we've gotten to do and cover and meet these people and talk to them. And it's to still be on that list. Cause I know there's outlets that come in and go all the
there's
time.
There's a million people that want to be on that
there
list
is.
Right now.
And, all I can say to you is that if that's your desire, if that's your dream is to somehow make the media list with Disney, don't give up on your dream. Fight for it. There's no easy
good
way
content.
To do it.
Disney will come to you.
They will. You could email them every day for years. They will not respond to you till they're ready to talk to you. So
yeah. So you gotta just kind of bide your time. But yep. In fairness, I will say it's harder these days because it is so saturated.
It is.
When we started 14 years ago, there wasn't many.
No.
So we're just pretty lucky that we get to do what we do, and you know, just I think that there's so many people that take those type of things for granted, or there's people that come to media events and just want the swag or just want to be the bragging rights,
right.
and to take selfies, and that's not us at all.
No, it's not us at all. We every time they invite us out, we give them the same coverage. Today we were at SeaWorld. We do the exact same type of coverage at SeaWorld that we do if we're at Disney, if we're at a Universal.
Because it's our jobs. And if you want to have a reputation of integrity, you can't pick and choose on that. And I think that that's why some people, when you see them at media events, you might not see them again.
Right.
Like some people get a shot and then you don't see them invited back. And it's because of the type of content. And you know, I just think that we're really lucky, but also we worked for it. I mean, it's not like it came easy.
No, it wasn't.
And no.
If you really think about it, so we started the Main Street Mouse originally in 2010. 2012 was our relaunch after
mm-hmm.
some years of trying to refigure out how we wanted to do this all. And we moved here in 2014, but we didn't get our first media invitation until 2017.
Right.
So for those first three years here in Florida, we didn't get invited to a media event.
We got SeaWorld and stuff.
We got SeaWorld, but Disney. Disney was the one we just could not seem to break. Legoland, we were invited to SeaWorld. We were the Icon Park. Originally, we were.
I know when we got a Disney invitation, I think we jumped around the house.
We did, because it was for Pandora.
Yeah.
The opening of Pandora. And it was crazy. I covered the first day of it. You covered the second day of it because it was also the unveiling of Happily Ever After that weekend.
Yes, it was crazy. And like we were like, did they mean to send us that? Like, was it a mistake?
Was this a joke?
Was this a joke? So those type of things were wonderful. And you'll always remember like that first time. Like I remember, sidebar, I know we're wrapping up.
No, we're
but
fine.
Just as an example, so Icon Park, when the Orlando Eye Complex opened in 2015, mm-hmm. We were one of the first people that got to take that ride on there. And I don't love heights, but you know, I did it. And when I got off the ride, there was a news camera there and they pulled me aside.
Yep, I remember.
Do you remember?
Yep.
I don't remember what channel it was, or what station, but, I thought that was so cool. I'm like, oh my gosh, the news people want to talk to me. And then that night, do you remember we waited and waited and waited to see? And then when my face popped up on the screen, we all screamed.
Yeah.
It was like.
It was so cool.
It was so cool because I felt validated a little bit because we weren't on Disney's list yet. Yeah. And that was something that was very surreal for me. I remember taking pictures of it. I posted it and sent it, tagged my parents. It was such a thing.
Yeah.
But then you look at it now, 9 years, well, actually, I've been contributing to local news for about 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
And Fox 35, since last September, I'm a regular now.
Right.
Never in a million years. I went from jumping around the house for a quote that I got from the Orlando Eye to where now I have media stations contact me for input. It's just weird how things go full circle, mm-hmm. but you never lose that appreciation. And I think a lot of people lose appreciation for things.
You take it for granted.
Yeah. Like, oh, I should be here. Who's that? Blah, blah, blah. I still value it. I still appreciate it. And I think the biggest thing is to stay humble.
Yes.
Humble. Do not get ahead of yourself.
And stay honest to your subscribers, your readers.
Yes.
Because don't sell them a fake box of goods.
We're definitely not fake.
Because because people think, it's Disney invited me, so I got to be 100% positive. You can say what you like about something without saying the stuff you don't like.
I mention I hate Genie Plus?
You hate Genie. Yeah, exactly. That's a perfect example. You hate Genie Plus, and our Disney reps know we're not fans of Disney Plus, and we're honest about it, but everybody has their own opinions of it. And when you use it, you may love it. It may work for your situation. It may work if you're only in town for 3 days, you want to do all this stuff, and you got to do it.
But Michelle Atwood hates it.
Michelle Atwood hates it with a passion. And it's funny you mentioned about when we got that first media event for Pandora, and how excited we were in questioning it. So I remember when we got our first cruise invite.
Oh, yeah.
And it was Thanksgiving weekend. And her mom and dad were in Florida with us at our house. And we're sitting at the house. And I got the email. And I said, we got invited on Disney Cruise. And she goes, you're lying.
So I said, oh, it's one of those like timeshare things. Like, cruise with us for free.
And then I told her who it was from. It was one of our Disney reps that we knew. And she's like, oh, my gosh, we're going on a cruise? I mean, it was just like, it went from, no, that's not for us to, oh my gosh, they did invite us on a cruise.
And I'm like, let me see the email. I'm like, RSVP us right now before they change their mind.
And that was like Thanksgiving night or day after Thanksgiving. I can't remember what it was exactly. Or maybe it was the day before Thanksgiving we had gotten it. But it was just so exciting that they had invited us to something like that. And it was like in January, I think, we sailed. And that was November.
Yeah, we had like not even 2 months notice. But we were totally down for it. And it was really cool because Disney cruises aren't cheap. And the fact that they send us to cover these things are... it's quite cool. And the treasure comes out later this year. And I know that we've gotten media stuff for it. So I'm hoping and praying that we are on the inaugural for that too. But we'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. But like Michelle said, we're always honest with you guys for listening and our writings. And Disney knows that. And they know they're going to get an honest opinion out of us. So I think that's why they keep us around.
See, and you know what? You can be honest without being crappy about it.
True.
You know, I mean... or at least throw some humor on it. That's what I try to do because sometimes, like, not everything is going to be perfect. And when you report on stuff, like, good, bad, and different, like, there's ways to say it without being a jerk.
Correct.
And usually I throw humor in it because I can laugh at just about anything. That's how I get through most of my life, by making jokes, because humor helps me.
That's why she makes fun of me all the time.
Oh, yeah. But yeah, so it does help. It does help. And, you know, like, for example, like when we just got you know, done a couple weeks ago with, you know, Lookout Key, right. And how we talked about the flies and we talked about the long walk. And it's just being honest. And it was kind of funny. However, I forgot to tell you.
Oh,
so
boy.
I read online again this weekend when we were doing nothing, that they actually have the fly problem under control. I heard.
Well, then I think we need to go back to Lookout.
Because I didn't get to try the food. Because somebody said that they have a spicy chicken sandwich.
Okay.
And none of us tried it because we didn't want to have
there
like,
was one.
Like chicken and flies.
A lot of protein.
I'd rather have chicken and fries, not flies. So, yeah, apparently the fly problem is getting corrected.
Oh, good. Well, I don't think it would be a hard situation. They control them at Walt Disney World pretty well. So
oh, my gosh. Like, and it's so funny because I kind of felt bad at first bringing it up. But then as the more people started sailing there, it was like the flies were taking precedence over how beautiful the beach is because everyone's talking about the flies.
And, you know, and another reason Disney does have us do these events and such is so that they can get our readers' feedback and also our feedback on stuff.
Sometimes we're guinea pigs. Like, they want to know what we think. 'Cause every time we do an event, they have, like, a closing whatever. Like, especially if it's travel, like with the cruise. This last time about the island, they always tell us we can't wait to read your coverage or to see your coverage because everybody does it different.
Yep.
Everybody has their own style.
And I'm going to be honest, Disney does watch.
Oh my God, they do.
We know that they watch.
Disney.
And they do. They make sure everything we're doing is on the up and up and what they're okay with. And I have no problem with that. I have nothing that we said or do to hide.
No, we don't have anything to hide because we do things from, you know, What's the word? Let's see. We have integrity, and that's where it comes
and
from.
Ethics, yeah. And we just, I'd rather have a good reputation with our listeners and our readers, to know that if we say it, it's our honest opinion. And
yeah.
And there's some sites out there that just tell you all the good, and then I tell you what, they shut off those cameras or they shut off those microphones, and they
trash it.
They trash it and they turn it into something.
Not
else, so.
Us. No, though. We're so nice.
No, and there's a handful of the other sites that we trust and feel the same way about.
Yeah, there's a handful of the good ones out there. So, but yeah, I just appreciate all of it. Does that answer your question?
That answers my question, and I'm right there with you. I appreciate it all as well.
We are very grateful.
We are. So thank you guys so much for listening to the TMSM Weekly Podcast, show number 150. Please make sure to visit our sponsor, MEI Mouse Fan Travel.
Hi, Becky.
Anything you guys need travel-wise, they will help you guys, even if it's not Disney, if it's Universal, if it's Royal Caribbean, if it's Carnival, if it's Paris, France. They can help you with whatever you need. So reach out to them on our site. There's lots of different banners on there. You can click any of those. It'll take you to a form that you fill out, and then one of their agents will get back to you as soon as possible. So that's all I have to say. So now I'm going to let Michelle close us out.
I'm sitting here trying to not make jokes. I was going to say, even if you want to go have a spicy chicken sandwich with a side of flies, Becky can help you out. No, I'm kidding. Thank you so much, you guys, for following what we do. Make sure to subscribe to this podcast. Don't forget to check out my podcast on Thursday nights, the Daydream Believing Podcast, Thursdays at 7 o'clock. And also, Scott and Greg have Wednesdays, the live podcast show comes out. So we're a little bit of everywhere. And, of course, the Main Street Mouse on all social media channels and themainstreetmouse.com. So thank you for everything. We hope you have a magical week ahead and a very happy 4th of July. And we will see you real soon.
Our trip around the Magic Kingdom is almost complete. I can't thank you enough for spending part of your day with me. And I hope you've enjoyed your journey as much as I've appreciated being a part of it.
Ladies and gentlemen, please gather your belongings. Watch your head and step as you exit. And take small children by the hand.
On behalf of our entire flight crew, thanks for soaring with us.
Now I will raise the safety bar, and a ghost will follow you home.